Okay, we're up to Mem Dalet Amud Aleph. So here you get into the thick of the Iker and Tufel Gemaras. You know, what's the primary, what's the secondary? For example, the famous Mishnah, Hayu Lefonav Maliach Tchila, they brought in front of him Maliach, salted stuff, Upasimo, and there was bread with it. You make a bracha on the salted stuff, and you don't make a bracha on the bread. Because back then, that was the main dish. The bread was just to accompany it. Okay, so we're going to discuss that more at length. So the Gemara wonders, how could you have such a thing where the Maliach is the Iker and the bread is the secondary? How in the world could that be? Okay, we'll discuss that shortly. You have some funny, interesting agaritas here, like small little agaritas that need some hesber. You have, for example, Amar Avdimi, Amar Ir Achas Haisal Yane Melech. Yane Melech had one city, right? Bahara Melech on the mountain of the king. Shahayu Motzim Mena Shishim Ribo Siflei Taurus. They would take 600,000 bowls of sardines for those cutting figs off the trees during the week from Shabbos to Shabbos to be able to feed them. So you have some type of massive meal, some type of massive dish. You have further down, there was Shmoni. They found also 80 pairs of brothers who were Kohanim, who were married to 80 pairs of sisters. It's unbelievable. They never found such a thing like that again. Of 80 pairs of brothers married to 80 pairs of sisters. Yeah. Amarav kol sudesh ein ba melech ein asuda. Any suda with not salt is not considered a suda. Importance of having salt at the meal. Then the Mishnah talks about if you ate anavim te'anim v'rimonim, that you make afterwards the alamicha. People don't realize that. They think after you eat the seven fruits of Eretz Yisrael, you make a bar nefashis afterwards. You don't. You make an alamichia, not the one that's for the mezonos, but you make the alamichia alaperos, the one that's for the fruits at the end. Goes through some basics about hilchas brachas over here, what types of brachas are said in different circumstances. And then it says, tzadang kol shetom bracha la'acharav tom, anything which has a bracha afterwards needs a bracha beforehand. There's stuff which needs a bracha beforehand, but still doesn't get a bracha afterwards. Perhaps things like mitzvahs and stuff like that, different opinions. Exactly. He's filling, right. Yeah, mitzvahs. So the Gemara also talks about things that are healthy for you. What's not healthy? If you eat in a certain way, but not another way, these are classic Gemaras. For example, Tana Rabbanan, Tchol. If you eat, Tchol, Yafel Ishnam Kasha Lebnei Meim. Meat from the spleen is good for the teeth, but not good for the intestines. Leek is good for the, is bad for the teeth, but good for the intestines. So you have to weigh, right? Jackie Mason always says you have to pick which way you want to die. Do you want the coffee to kill you or the water to kill, right? Everything's got a cost benefit here in the Gemara. You just pick which one you'd rather focus on. But the answer probably is balance. And also they were trying to figure out back then how this worked in terms of bacteria and different elements like that. Kol nefesh meshiv nefesh. Any living creature that you eat whole, it restores the soul. Afilu gildeni de begeli. Even small fish that grow among the reeds, even those can restore the soul. Meaning these small fish which live among the reeds, or a certain type of species, and they only grow a few centimeters, and apparently they're good for you. So shisha dvar marpin sechola, herring. Okay, he says a type of carp up here. He says
no, not a herring. A carp,
a small carp. Six types of things heal the chola from his sickness, and right, yeah, cabbage, beets, different chamomile, water, honey, different things we put in the tea. That's where it became a minhag to have a tea when you're sick and not feeling well. Have a tea. Again, we quote Jackie Mason twice in one shir. He says, every Jew has a piece of cake and soup, and that's how we get healthy, right? When you're not feeling well. Fine. Let's now get to real lumdus. Let's get to a real shir. First of all, we're back on with Rav Soloveitchik here, talking about Iker. And I'm going to put Rav Soloveitchik aside for 1 second because I want to definitely get time to lay out the shir on Iker and Tufel, which is an amazing sugya. So the bracha, Gemara and brachas here we saw said that you were eating very salty fish and you ate bread. And the bread was just there to remove the taste of the fish in the mouth. So you make a bracha on the fish and the pas tfelelo. Sounds like a very big chiddush. So one example of Iker and Tufel was back on the Gemara and brachas, Lamites, Rav and Shmuel said anything with the chameshes mine dagon is going to be mezonos. Why? There are other ingredients, but that's called the Iker. Anything which has from the five grains is going to be the Iker. The Gemara there actually never used the word Iker and Tufel yet. So that's the first example where you have a type of mix of ingredients. Okay, so you have mizonos mixed into some type of dish. Okay, then you have a second example of Iker and Tufel. For example, the Gemara in Brachas Mem Aleph Mem Aleph talks about Snon Vizayis, radish and olives. Right, where you, and Ula and the sugi of Ein Berchas and Shavas, where you're not sure which is the bracha to say first, and there they're being eaten one after the other. So Rush says that's a different case. That's a case of one after the other. It's not the same time, and that might have different ramifications. And then we get to our sugya. So we have one where the ingredients are mixed together, one where it's separate brachas. So you got to figure out which one comes first, and then our sugya. Do we ever find something where maliach is the ikar and pas is the tafel? That's what our Gemara started by asking. The Gemara says, yes, there were peras ginosar, the fruits of ginosar. They were the fruits of the yam kinaris. They were more chashiv than bread itself, than pas. Did they eat that with bread together? And is Rashi saying that the peras is the maliach? So Tosva says the maliach is the ikar because it comes to meshiv the lave after the sweetness of the fruits, one after the other. It was a case of fruits and then salt to satisfy. So Tosfos has a couple pshatim. Rabbeinu Yonah says, yeah, no, you ate it together with the bread. That's what was happening here. So there's a question of whether the bread in this case was coming afterwards to wipe the mouth, or you were eating with the bread. Did you put it on the bread and had it that way? So the Bir Hagra, the Vilna Gaon, says that machlokas Tosfos and Rabbeinu Yonah as to whether the bread was being eaten with it or not in this sugya was a machlokas into which variation of Iker and Tafel did our Gemara want to highlight. Example one, the mixed ingredient one, or example two, the one after the other, right? That's what the Gemara was trying to figure out. The Rambam, when he gives you the prototype of what's Iker and Tafel, the Rambam, his prototype is not a case of Zayas and Snon, right? Rather, his case is our Gemara. And he says, V'ochel hapas imo. So you see, for him, the ikker case of ikker v'tafel is our case, this salty bread thing, felt with the bread, and he says achal apas imo. And yet, even though it's mixed together, because you're having them at the same time, it's tfeila she'ena mu'revis. It's not going to be mixed. So mu'urev for him, right, is if it becomes one entity, right, becomes one entity. So according to him, what? No, because the salty we said in this Gemara, the ikar, the salt was just there to wipe it away. So according to him, there's three types of ikar and tafel. One, a cake, which is a big mix of ingredients. Two, the case of tznon v'zayas, one after the other. The second type of case, what's the ikar, what's tafel. And three, two distinct foods you chose to eat together. Okay, according to the Vilna Gaon, that's considered ma'uruv. That's like the first case. According to the Rambam, that's not considered ma'uruv. So you have three, it's a good trivia question. Give me three types of cases of ikar v'tafel. One is where the ingredients are mixed together. Two is where one bracha is after the other. And third is our Gemara, where you're eating it together, but they're not necessarily mixed together. And there it's a machlokas Rambam in the Gra, is it considered ma'uruv or not, like the first case. It seems like either way, it's not a big deal. There's no real nafkamina halacha lamaisa because it sounds like all these categories are considered ikar v'tafel. But you see there's a few ways to get to the sugya of ikar v'tafel. So how do I determine what is ikar and what is tafel? So our Gemara's example, by the way, the Gemara is such an amazing educational tool. The Gemara chose an example that was not the classic prototype, but rather it chose an example which for us is classically the ikar and showed you how you could actually present it in a way where it's not the ikar. It took something, bread for everybody is the ikar. And the Gemara's example was to use something which broke that rule entirely.
Can I just say, whatever your taste wants, you have a plate in the front.
We'll see if that's really a factor. We'll see if that's a factor here. So that's not where ikar and tafel ends. There's other places. The Gemara almost never used this phrase, ikar v'tafel, not too much. The Rush borrowed it. Tosfos borrowed it by the sugya of habob machma suda. We had that a couple days ago. Things that come because of the meal are ancillary to the meal. For example, tuna fish on bread, right? It comes what's called lilafes et apas, to accompany the bread. Rashi said that's ikar v'tafel. There's no need for the bracha on the tuna. Other Rishonim said that the tuna is covered by the bread. Meaning, you hear the machlokas, is the tuna covered by the bread? Or you just don't need a bracha on tuna there, because you're making a bracha on the bread. So what if you're eating the bread just to wash down the kol cuts? Kol cuts is the ikar. Everybody's making a big deal about that. You love kol cuts, but the bread is just a way to get it down. What's the ikar and what's the tafel? So you see Rabbeinu Yonah and Tosfos that you can invoke ikar v'tafel even when your tuna or kol cuts are in coming to enhance that first food. It's a new category. And then there's another case. There's a case where I'm interested in both. I'm interested in both. And for example, set in there where they're equal, so the Gemara Yamates says Mizonos wins. But what about without Mizonos? What if it's the case without Mizonos or Hamotzi? What do I do? So the Rosh says you follow the Rove. You follow majority. Majority is going to win, right? When you both like both. You like both. So what's the Gemara? Since our Gemara only said Mizonos wins, the Rosh says, great lumdus. Our Gemara only said Mizonos wins. It's showing you when it's not Mizonos, then just default to classic halacha, which is use the Rove. So you see, there are numerous cases of Ikar v'tafel, but more than that, What you see from all these sugyas, the relationship between Ikar v'Tofel keeps changing. Sometimes you go by what is the dominant in terms of Cheshivas, Mizonos, Hamotzi. Sometimes you seem to go with what you like better. Sometimes you seem to go with the majority. It's a lot here. There's a lot in the sugya. So, by the way, in order to say rov, you go by the majority. Do you need to create a mixture before you say rov? When I make a dish and you want to know whether it's kosher or not, something squirted in there, you go after the rov. That's okay because it's a taruvus. It's a mixture. The Prima Godim disagrees with the Chayadim. He says that a mixture can still be a taruvus, even when you could recognize that other ingredient in there, as long as you call it one name. If I call it one name, a mushroom barley soup, I don't make multiple brachas in the mushroom barley soup, but I could still see the barley. So the Chai Adam would say, maybe you need separate brachas, because even though it's a mixture, you're seeing separate ingredients here. Yeah, but the Prima Godim says, no. Even though you see the barley still, it's one entity, mushroom barley soup. I would say you say the barley's mizonos, that's the ikker. Mizonos, that's the ikker. Yeah, no, the ikker's the mizonos. You have mizonos in there. Now, let's say you're sitting down at a wedding and there's a fruit cocktail. What's the bracha? So is this category number one, right? Meaning I really don't want the peach. No, I want it. Or is it number two? Is it there? It's just there to machshir the pineapple, right? To help it out. Or I like both fruits, yeah. Let's say. Or category number three, I like both. So what's the halacha? So according to the Chai Adam, you make two brachas because it's nicker. You need two separate brachas. You could see this, you could see that. According to the Prima Godim, you look at the fruit cup and you ask yourself, what's the majority? What's the majority here? And that's the bracha you make. So when you have a fruit cup and you like everything in the medley, according to the Chai Adam, you would make multiple brachas. According to the Prima Godim, you look at the rov and you're good. What about chulent? Chulent is definitely category...
What happens if you have a fruit cup with fruit?
What?
Different fruit and you have yogurt in it too.
Fruit cup with yogurt. Yeah, same thing.
What is your favorite?
Same thing. So according to the Chai Adam, you need multiple brachas. According to the Prima Godim, you look at what the majority is in that dish there. Is it the zablon spray, whatever it's called, that thing there, or is it the fruit? What about the chulent? So the same machlokas Chai Adam, Prima Godim, comes down to chulent. Chulent becomes more complicated because you're dealing with barley. That's mizonos. So then if it's mizonos, you ignore the rov. But if it's a tarovus, a real genuine mixture where you can't tell what's what, then you got to go with rov. So the Mishnah Berurah Paskins, he thinks the Prima Godim is right, Maker Adin. You follow the majority. Follow the majority.
So you would make a shakol on the cholent.
You make a shakol on the cholent. Yeah.
Forget the barley.
No.
If there's no barley.
If there's no barley. Or you can't tell. But if you see the barley, according to Prima Godim, you go, mizonos is going to win. So you make a mizonos, that takes care of everything.
Even though you might like something else, you see sometimes
yeah,
hot dogs.
Yeah, mizonos is going to win.
I like the hot dogs.
Mizonos is going to win.
But what happens if you see rov as beans?
What? So we said mizonos trumps rov. Mizonos trumps rov. So now apply the Orach HaShulchan to these cases. What do I get when I stick my fork into the cholent? Orach HaShulchan disagrees. He said, if I have a kugel on my plate, chicken on my plate, cholent on my plate, that's not a tarovis. Why? It's not the same bite. He establishes a new criteria. The Orach HaShulchan says the primary criteria is what do I get in one bite? In a well-made cholent, in one bite, you can get yourself on one spoon of meat, a potato, you can get mizonos, you can get everything there. So what do I get when I stick my fork into the cholent? So it's going to depend on the size of the food items that you put in the cholent. If you put it there and you get barley when you come out, that's a mizonos. But you have to make sure that on that fork that you're making the bracha on, that you get some barley there. Now, what about sushi? Right? Sushi's not so pashut. Sushi's not so pashut in this whole sugi over here. First of all, the question is whether or not that mizonos is a real mizonos, because the rice we saw is not a real category of mizonos. Wow. So now it defaults to other categories. So number one, you have to pick what you like better. I don't know. I like yellowtail. I like salmon. You like the avocado. I like the rice. So first of all, if you like it all, they're all equal. Now, category number two, is one being machshir the other? Does one support the other? Maybe in some ways, yeah, some ways, no. People eat sushi because they like the combination of flavors in one shot, the whole thing. So then you got to take it all apart and start measuring which is the rov. It's not so pashut. So some say just make your brachas on whatever you can. You have a drink there, make a shakol on the drink. And take a little piece of rice off the sushi and make a mizonos. But when we paskin halacha,
rice is a shahako.
No, rice mizonos, but with a burning of pashas at the end. But when you get to the but therefore, in order to
there's no separate bracha for Orez, right?
Yeah. So we would like to paskin halacha in a way that just really satisfies what to do. You know what I mean? You could always ignore all of these halachas and just find 15 different foods, so you don't have to worry about any of these shaylos.
So just eat the bread and that's it.
What's okay, but it's not a viable way. People are not eating bread now. You have to have halacha has to be a viable way. Yeah.
So you covered everything.
Yeah, it has to be a viable way of eating and stuff like that. So you have to figure out what's the normal way of doing things. So the fact that we have some things that don't get a bracha because it's eaten with something else, on one hand, that's not new to us. Right? For example, you have 10 fruit trees. You only need one ha'etz. You don't make 10 brachas ha'etz. So when that's a simple case, right? That we all know to be true. I have 10 different fruit trees. I take an apple off one. I make one bar ha'etz. It covers everything. Good? What's the pshat? Is pshat that the other apples don't need a bracha because it's bottled to that one? Or do we say, no, they all need a bracha. Everything you're going to eat needs a bracha. Just the bracha was chal on the original. See those two ways of looking at it? That's a very important chakira in Ikar and Tafel. Because it solves a lot of these, it addresses a lot of these sugyas. So, for example, that it's no question that when it's the same bracha, for example, the first tree was an apple, the second tree was a peach. It's no doubt that it's the second side what's happening, that your bracha on the apple is taking care of the other fruits. You are making a bracha on the rest of the fruits.
Apple and strawberry.
No, forget strawberry. Sorry, because it gets complicated. Peach, right? Apple and peach. So when you're making a bracha on the apple, it's clear we understand it the second way, that you are making a bracha on the peach. It's just you did it on the apple and it's taking care of everything. But the question is, in this case of Ikar V'Tofel that we had, what are we doing when we're making the bracha? Let's say a tuna sandwich. We make a hamotzi. Are we saying the hamotzi is a bracha on the tuna as well? Or do we say the tuna is so insignificant vis-a-vis the bread that it never needed a bracha? It's gone. It's command the lese. It's not there at all. So you have a similar chakira by the laws of money. Dine mominus. Kinyan agav. Let's say agav. You acquire a cabinet. Right? You do this by the Pesach sale. You acquire the cabinet. Kinyan agav says by dint of getting the cabinet, you get all the other stuff that are there with it. So you have other tchotchkes in there. So what's the pshat in kinyan agav? Do you say that the kinyan is only miyaches to what's similar to it? Or do we see that the other stuff is as though it's not there because it's insignificant to the cabinet? Right? Did your kinyan on the cabinet acquire the kinyanim and all the things in it? Or no, I made a kinyan on a cabinet and it made all the other stuff insignificant and it got wrapped up into it. So these types of things would be relevant. Why? Who cares? We're getting so semantical here by brachas. It's not. Because the Orza Ruach quotes the Yesh Omrim, the Wod Halacha be, if something fits the criteria of Ikar Tafel, but you like to hit Tafel so much, you know, kids put the ketchup on the challah, they want the ketchup. They can't catch it. So what's there? But you like the Tafel so much better. So then what would be the Barmei Bracha? So that's why all these cases interact. I think at the end of the day, that Chakira, if Tafel is commandalese, as though it's not there, the Tafel, I don't care if you like it better. It still doesn't exist, right? But if you say it's there, but the other one is taking care of it, then you have to figure which one is taking care of which. And that's how you're going to have to look at the whole sugya. Okay, let's stop there for today.